Hi, folks. Hello. Welcome to another week here at Dan's Dabble and Babble. I am really excited to be recording this episode. I'm actually recording this on a Tuesday evening. Typically, I record my episodes, especially if they're solo episodes, I record them on Sunday when they're posted. Now, when I have interviews are kind of scheduled sporadically, so, I just kind of make myself available when my guest is going to be available. But I had an idea for this episode, and I sat down and I started kind of storyboarding how I would want the episode to go, and I was just kind of really feeling it, so I thought, you know, strike while the iron's hot and all that jazz, and let's get down to business to discuss some pop culture. This isn't exactly the most timely episode, but I also think that it's a timeless episode, and that's really why I'm kind of recording this, is I've recently come back to something that has always been there for me, and I've spoken a little bit about it on the podcast before, but, you know, I really have just kind of been tossing some thoughts around about this show that I'm going to be talking about, and I really wanted to pay deference and pay due to the show that I love so much, and that is the sitcom Will and Grace. Now, Will and Grace is often celebrated, but I also think it's sometimes written off as just, you know, that gay show. And I think, especially if you're in certain circles where you either don't necessarily know a lot of gay people or you weren't drawn to the sitcom, I think that it's really kind of put on a shelf and classified as, oh, the sitcom for gay people in a lot of people's minds. Now, I am somewhat surprised in talking with people, and I'm generally a crowd that's a bit older. The sitcom ran from 1998 to 2006, and I think it did draw in audiences that you wouldn't have expected it to, and I'm talking about a lot of Midwestern audiences, I think, would kind of turn it on and watch it here or there and enjoy it for what it was, which was a funny sitcom. And I think that is actually really powerful and the magic of Will and Grace, because for it being a show that is often kind of the quintessential gay show, I think, I mean, especially for network television, one of the major networks to take a chance on a sitcom like this in 1998, I think, you know, it certainly holds that place. And I think that's an important aspect of it. And I think it would be naive to not recognize that, yes, of course, it's going to naturally have a draw for the LGBTQ community. And, you know, that's really kind of who it was designed for in a way, but it was designed to also be such a tool for our community as well. And I think, you know, by drawing in a more general audience, it has been credited, even by Joe Biden, our current president, it has been credited as doing so much work toward acceptance, tolerance, and inclusion of the gay community. And I really don't think you can discount that at all. Now, this was a Jimmy Burrows directed sitcom. Jimmy Burrows is one of the most famous sitcom directors. I think, you know, Will and Grace certainly is up there with one of his most respected, most revered credits. But of course, Cheers and then Friends probably make him even more renowned than Will and Grace. And, you know, I really think that it should be recognized on the same kind of social circle, the same level, the same reverence that Cheers, Friends, and this wasn't Jimmy Burrows, but also Seinfeld. I think Will and Grace really should be in the mix of influential, but even more than influential, Will and Grace was important, but beyond being important, the reason why I think it's important to kind of put it alongside those other sitcoms is that it was funny. It was good. It was a very good show. Remove the social message that you just kind of innately had, because, again, and I'm going to get into this in more detail, but we're talking about a sitcom that aired in 1998 where two of the four principal characters were openly gay, and they did not shy away from it. And I think it is important to recognize that, yes, you know, one thing about these sitcoms, and I'll talk about it with Friends and with Seinfeld, is, you know, looking through the lens of 2022, you know, a lot of people want to write think pieces or point out that Friends and Seinfeld and sitcoms like that were quote unquote problematic. And I really don't accept that. I think that they are important kind of bookmarks for the time that they were created. So Friends is often kind of pointed at a show of having a lack of diversity, which is true. That is absolutely true. And, you know, if we were going to talk about a great sitcom that should be made today, then certainly that's something that through today's lens, our culture has started to develop the language around that and started to kind of articulate that that is a value and that there's an audience for that. I think when Friends aired, it certainly was not as that was just not the reality of the society that we were living in, you know, and just because we weren't vocal about it doesn't mean that it wasn't important. It of course was important. It's always been important to have these things, but I think it's unfair to kind of look through it and write it off in today's lens, because Friends was a landmark sitcom. It ran for 10 seasons. There were a lot of culturally significant moments. I mean, famously going into the last season, the cast all banded together and demanded equal pay, which I think is just a really incredible story. But, you know, there are with respect to Will and Grace and kind of comparing Friends, is these were really kind of aired contemporaneously. So Friends debuted in 1994 and ran to 2004. Will and Grace debuted in 1998 and ran to 2006. So they certainly had a lot of overlap there. And Friends, for being a contemporaneous show, there were some moments where there was some homophobia, certainly some sexism. And I think that that is important, because it's naive to kind of whitewash our media and not be able to look at our media as a reflection of the attitudes and the cultures of the time. And I think that as kind of a landmark to be able to measure how far we've come and the way the conversation has changed, I think it's really important to recognize that we're looking at six cis heterosexual friends and the way that they're interacting. And this was a time where, you know, there very much was a stigma about being gay. There were lots of stigmas about interracial couples, certainly in a lot of the country. You know, those conversations we're still having today. It's not a perfect society, but I mean, we're certainly an imperfect society when it comes to racial equity. And I think that it's important. I think our culture, our media reflects our values and reflects our attitudes and reflects our time. But I also think that, you know, being able to recognize that and recognize that it was a part of the time, I think that that is an important conversation piece. But I also don't think that, you know, that really puts a black mark on the show Friends. I think Friends was phenomenally funny. One of my all-time favorite shows. I can go back and watch Friends episodes and just sit down and kind of get sucked into Friends. I mean, it's phenomenally acted. But I'll kind of use that as a segue to talk about how Will and Grace, to me, is just the perfect sitcom. And, you know, okay, so we talk about an ensemble cast. Certainly, the ensemble cast of Friends was absolutely wonderful. I would say that five of the best comedic actors of all times were on Friends. I mean, Lisa Kudrow, I don't think there is a better comedic actress. Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston both have incredible comedic timing. And then Matt LeBlanc and Matthew Perry are also just great comedic actors. The weak link, and this is partly because I think he's a weak link as an actor, weak link certainly as a comedic actor, and also his fault or not, but I think, you know, his personality kind of played into the development of the character of Ross. But David Schwimmer was really quite a weak link on the show Friends. And I think, you know, I talk about how attitudes change. I think at the time, I think different generations view Phoebe very differently. Whereas at the time, Phoebe was very out there and free spirit and, you know, was a hilarious character, but still somehow belonged in this group of six friends. I think that now my generation and generations after really identify with Phoebe. She shares a lot of her values, a lot of the openness. So I think that is a really culturally important part of the show as well. But I talk about that ensemble cast because I think even though Will and Grace is often pigeonholed as being a gay show, and certainly it is a hallmark of gay culture. It is important gay media, and it represents so much. But if we talk about the ensemble cast, I mean, this is a perfect cast of four. We've got Eric McCormick, who plays Will Truman. We've got Sean Hayes, who plays Jack McFarland. Deborah Messing playing Grace Adler, and Megan Mullally playing Karen Walker. And this was actually one of only three sitcoms where every principal character won a Primetime Emmy. So that goes to show you just how great this cast was. And Jack McFarlane, Sean Hayes, is actually the most awarded cast member of the series. But the fact that all of them won an Emmy for their performance is really an obvious critical testament to just how talented this cast was. And I think their comedic timing is perfect. I think the thing about Will and Grace is if you're a fan of live theater, I find Will and Grace so theatrical. I think the way that jokes are set up, it's a four-camera sitcom, but it very much plays like a mini Broadway play. And I think, you know, all of the actors and actresses on the show have roots to Broadway in some way. So I think that is a really special part of the show. And for that, just the talent in that cast and the comedic delivery in that cast is incredible. And so I want to talk about the characters, and I guess I'll start with Karen Walker. So Karen Walker is satire in the highest form of a wealthy socialite in New York City that, you know, I've started to see some think pieces about her abuse of drugs and alcohol as being problematic. But again, I think if you look at her as a satirical character and you look at her arc and you look at her place in society as a foil, you know, she kind of has these jokes throughout the series where, you know, there's one episode where she is hosting a gala, and she initially doesn't invite Will and Jack because she says that it would put her in the uncomfortable position of coming out against same-sex marriage, which is laughable because her best friend is Jack, and she is obviously on a personal level supports gay causes, but because of the socialite circles that she runs in, she is not a vocal proponent of that. And I think like that satire is just so spot on, and especially at the time is so relevant. So in 1998, when it premiered, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was still good law. The Defense of Marriage Act defining marriage between a man and a woman was still good law. Ellen DeGeneres came out on her sitcom in 1997, and her sitcom was canceled. And a year later, NBC was daring enough to have a sitcom with two of the four principal characters being openly gay. So if we look at the landmark that this show came out in and the way that they were able to so comedically and perfectly have the satirical Karen Walker character is just so remarkable. And then you have Grace Adler, the interior designer, that really I think is a great representation for young women. Of course, I don't identify as a young woman. So I'm not going to speak too much about that. But she does own her own business. She is written to play into a lot of Jewish stereotypes, which, again, I'm not Jewish, so I don't relate to those, and I won't speak on how those are meaningful or not to me, because, you know, I don't want to speak about a community with traditions, but I think that the character rings very true for a lot of people and represents a lot of the population. So I think that Grace is very powerful and a great character in her own right. Then you have Jack McFarland, who is, you know, one stereotype, certainly at the time of gay culture, where he is flamboyant and promiscuous and can't hold a job and trying to break into showbiz and dramatic. And it makes for a hilarious character. But then as the series progresses, Jack also just has so much heart. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. And then you have Will. And Will Truman, to me, is someone that I have always identified with. Obviously, I am not a lawyer, but Will is someone who has lived his life. He's very funny. He's very witty. He's very charming. But he's lived his life in a way that he has made himself acceptable and palatable to the heterosexual, cis, heteronormative populace. And, you know, for better or worse, I mean, I think there's a lot of complex conversations there to be had about gay identity and about what that journey has been, is, does. I mean, those are a lot of complex themes that this show certainly explores in a lot of ways, but also does it in a way that's so palatable and inviting to parts of the country where there would have been people, and I'm talking again in 1998, there would have been a lot of people who either didn't know a gay person personally or didn't know an out gay person personally. Because, you know, speaking of growing up in my hometown, which is the urban area that I grew up in, is about 100,000 people, but there were, I could count on one hand the number of my classmates that were openly gay in high school. I was not one of them. It just wasn't done as commonly, as openly in 2011 when I graduated high school, as I think it is now, and certainly in the Midwest. And there's certainly other areas that may have been more open, and it would have been less of a commodity for someone to be out. But this show reached audiences and certainly reached people like me and people older than me and people younger than me that could serve as an example of gay people being themselves, being successful in themselves. But also, it humanized gay characters. And you had these characters in your home every week. The episodes were funny. The cast was hysterical. And it was truly a landmark show. So before I dive in anymore, I want to take this time to play a word from our sponsors, and then we will get back into it. Are you ready to launch your new career in coding? Treehouse has one of the best and most affordable online classrooms for you. At Treehouse, we've rethought the learning process and built a proven system to get you the skills and knowledge you need to achieve your goals. When you're done with a course, you haven't just watched a video. You learned, practiced, and absorbed a concept. Or choose to build a portfolio, create a network, and land your dream job with our bootcamp-style tech degree program. Land a dev job this year. Whatever your goal, we'll get you there. Start your 7-day free trial today. Learn more at teamtreehouse.com. And to learn more about the tech degrees, go to teamtreehouse.com/tech degree. Okay, so I have to be totally honest, that opening segment before the sponsored ad reads really took up more time than I thought. So I can already tell that this is going to probably be a longer episode than I'm used to. So thank you so much for tuning in. and sticking around. But, you know, I do have a lot to say about Will and Grace. Will and Grace means a lot to me, and I really don't view this as frivolous meaning. Also, this is the first time in a long time I've really outlined some thoughts for an episode. So it turns out my dabble and babble with a little bit of structure, I think, is kind of the way to go. Now, for me, this show is so important because I was familiar with Will and Grace here and there. But in college is where I really just kind of fell down the rabbit hole of ordering all of the seasons on DVD and just watching the seasons over and over. And for me, going to college as a gay person in Indiana, I came out to my parents, I came out really to everybody my freshman year of college. And my experience in college was, you know, I was not comfortable with my sexuality, my sexual identity as a gay man. And a lot of people around me weren't comfortable either. And, you know, there were people in various stages of coming out, which for those of us that are part of the community and deal with that, we know that it's a process and you're never really done. There's always more people that you're going to meet that you come out to. And, you know, there's this kind of popular saying that maybe has died down a little bit that, like, you shouldn't have to come out. And I agree that you shouldn't have to come out. And I mean, I don't think I owe anybody an explanation or owe anybody a coming out. But the reality of the situation is you are coming out all of the time. And there is a lens and there's a trepidation that, especially when you're not comfortable with yourself, you have to worry about, are other people going to be comfortable with you? And part of that is, you know, at a certain age, you just put a lot of value in what other people are thinking about you, whether their opinions are really relevant to you or not. And so, you know, as I've gotten a little bit older and certainly more comfortable with myself, I've, you know, realized and kind of been through things and just, you know, have to live the life that is right for me and authentic to me. And Will Truman was my kind of guidepost for that era of college where, you know, this was a show about older characters. The show starts with characters in their 30s. So they're a little bit more established even than the characters and Friends at the start of Friends. So, you know, this was like, okay, Will was now at a point where he was comfortable with his sexuality. The show explores him coming out during college, him coming to terms with things. And you juxtapose that to Jack, who was a lot more comfortable with his sexuality, but you still see parts of his journey as well. And it was like, that was my goal. My goal was to end up something like Will Truman and end up being able to successfully date and be open and be around other people who that just wasn't even a factor, you know, just as, you know, if it's just for the people that you care about, the gender that they prefer to date is not something that matters to you. But as a gay person growing up, that's not necessarily obvious. So that's really why the show is so meaningful to me. And I also love that Eric McCormack is a straight actor that plays a gay man. And I know there's a lot of conversation about representation. And to me, I don't subscribe to the idea that gay parts should necessarily be played by gay actors, because I think, one, that pigeonholes gay actors, because certainly gay actors should be able to play straight parts, but also I think it says a lot the number of actors that would be willing to take on a gay role. That wasn't always the case. And certainly in 1998, for a straight actor to take on such a monumental gay role was really, really incredible. And so I'm grateful for him to taking on the role because, I mean, the role of Will Truman, I think, was a difficult balance to strike, especially as a straight actor to, you know, have this character that, as I said before, really kind of plays into what straight society, heteronormative society demanded of gay people, especially in 1998. But, you know, it's to still not shy away as a sitcom from having the main characters date, having Will go on dates and meet men. And it really, I think, just did so much to shape the conversation and to have people realize that gay people are real, gay people exist. And of course, you know, living in Florida with the Don't Say Gay bill, there's a big conversation about visibility and representation, and I think those are incredibly important, salient conversations to be having. But there's just so many monumental episodes, so many fantastic performances. So a couple of things that I want to touch on. I want to touch on some of the most kind of notable episodes to me and why they're meaningful to me. And one, all of the Thanksgiving episodes. So there is no sitcom that does a better holiday episode than Will and Grace and their Thanksgiving episodes. They are just absolutely perfect. I mean, the one where Will meets Vince's family is chef's kiss. But the most impactful is in season two, Will invites Jack's mother to Thanksgiving dinner. The dinner is going to include Will, Grace, Karen, Jack, and Jack's mother. It's a very strange fivesome for a Thanksgiving, but Jack always portrays his mother as this monstrous beast and just this horrible woman. It's like, why would I subject you to my horrible mother? And when the mother comes, she does a dry run, which is hilarious. She walks into Will's apartment with a casserole dish and kind of announces her time. And Will is like, but you're 24 hours early. And she says, I always do dry runs, so I know how long it would take me to get to your apartment carrying a hot casserole dish, which is just so neurotic and hilarious. And you can see that why she's Jack's mother. But in the conversation, Grace is standing there and the mother says something to the effect of it being a shame that it didn't work out between Jack and Grace, because Jack, we learn, has not come out to his mother, which is so, I think, incredible that you have this character that is the apex example of being comfortable with yourself as a gay person and living flamboyantly and eccentrically and authentically yourself, and then with his own mother still has that big hurdle of being afraid to come out and being afraid of being rejected from your family. And I think that is so true of so many gay people's experiences, is that yes, it's one thing for your peers, your friends, to find your community in college, in high school, whatever it may be, to find people outside of your family, outside of your home, that accept you and love you for who you are. But the fear of what your family is going to say, whether deep down you know that they are still going to love you, it is still a very scary thing, because I think there was no doubt in Jack's mind that his mother was going to love him. I think he was just deeply afraid of that perception of living that authentic truth. And Will takes Jack out to the terrace and recounts this conversation that Jack has with Will when Will is uncomfortable with his sexuality, and Jack says, "Aren't you tired?" And so Will looks at Jack and says, "Aren't you tired?" And it's just such a resonant conversation, because having to put on this face of, you know, it's something that unless you have had to hide yourself, you don't understand. And I think everybody hides certain aspects of themselves. But of course I identify with this, because this is very true to my own experience, but it is exhausting. It's tiring to carry that burden of not being able to be yourself. And I think one thing that's important to recognize about this show too is, of course, this does not represent the entire spectrum of the gay or the queer experience. It would be an impossible task to expect that Will and Grace could do that. We see the lens through two white gay characters, and two white gay characters whose families ultimately accept them. So that is a specific experience, and that is not, unfortunately, everybody's experience. And I do think it's important to note that, but I also think, you know, again, reflecting on the time, 1998, of making these characters human, is it really humanized the experience. So that Thanksgiving episode is just, it's one of those just really, it's very funny. Grace and Karen have an argument at the table because Karen, it turns out, is upset that Jack picked Grace as his fake girlfriend instead of her. So there's a lot of just, you know, phenomenally funny jokes in there as well. Another notable episode to me is the old-fashioned piano party. So, you know, kind of as Will gets back out on the dating scene, because the series opens up with Will coming out of a very bad breakup. So Will doesn't date for a while. So kind of as Will is getting back on the dating scene, Grace is kind of worried that she's losing her friend. So she buys a piano to get like everybody back together and have Will hang out and cherish the friendship. And she keeps on just referring to it as an old-fashioned piano party. And I always love to bring that up because it's so not a thing, an old-fashioned piano party, but I just love the idea of an old-fashioned piano party. And I do not play piano, but if I did, I would certainly buy a piano and throw lots of old-fashioned piano parties, because I think that is wonderful. There's an episode later in the series where Will is going for partner, and I think one of the things for partner at a law firm, and I think one of the things that's so great about this episode is Will, even though he is such a talented lawyer, he still has to confront the fact that his being gay could impact his position in getting the promotion to partner. And this is an especially gut-wrenching episode for me, because this is where Will and Vince ultimately break up. Spoiler alert, they get back together, thank God. But so for me, Will and Vince is like the perfect gay relationship in media. So that was a heart-wrenching episode, but it's a very real episode and a very resonant episode. I think it's there's so many wonderful episodes. There's the Sound of Music episode again later in the series, where there's a Sound of Music sing along that the main four cast goes to, and they are all in costume, and you have Grace kind of waiting in the lobby and people just dropping off the children with her, and she starts singing them songs from the Sound of Music. But in this episode, this is notable to me. One, it is hilarious, and it's one of the first episodes that I really remember before I watched the series from start to finish. It was just, it's a very memorable, hilarious episode. And this is the start of a relationship between Will and the character James, who's played by Taye Diggs. So I think, again, this is, they show Will and Taye Diggs kissing, Will and James kissing. And so not only is it a gay kiss on network television, but it's also a gay interracial kiss. And so I just really think that that's a sign of this show's fearlessness and really pushing boundaries and even putting it in frames like that. It's so sad, right, that we have to think about it as pushing boundaries, but it's also, again, it's important to recognize that it was pushing boundaries, and it's because of shows like Will and Grace that I'm able to kind of fearlessly talk about my own gay experience on a podcast and not really have a second thought about it and to live comfortably. I mean, it really has had such an influence on my life. It's had such an influence on so many people's lives, and it's advanced gay culture and gay society in ways that I really don't think we can discount. And it's just such a perfect show. And I think with that, I'll kind of end my rant. I will probably come back and do another episode at some point, kind of breaking down Will and Grace. I I had these feelings bubble up where I just really wanted to talk about what Will and Grace means to me with all of you. So thank you for giving me the space to be able to do that. And thank you for sticking with me and sticking with this episode. And I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that if you have not watched Will and Grace, I hope that you will give it a chance. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea. It's not something that I hold against anybody if it's not your cup of tea, but I think if you like sitcoms, if you like good, funny sitcoms, you will like Will and Grace. It's available to stream on Hulu, so just give it a chance. Such a groundbreaking, phenomenal show. With that, you can follow me on Twitter at Babbling Dan. Please reach out. Let me know what you think about Will and Grace. Think about my show, what have you. You can follow me on Twitter at Babbling Dan, on Instagram at Daniel Burkett. Thank you for listening to the show. Give us a rating of 5 stars. Review us wherever you listen to us. And I appreciate your listenership. I encourage you to watch Will and Grace. So wag on, my babblers, wag on. So wag is Will and Grace. That's one of my favorite jokes is like not even really a joke. But Karen walks into the room and says, "Oh, hey, wag." And Grace goes, "Wag?" Karen responds, "Yes, wag. Will and Grace." Again, not even really a joke, but for some reason, that's just resonant to me. Other great moments, just like YouTube, the slap fight compilations between Jack and Karen. Just great physical comedy, great, just all around great, great comedy. And God, it's such a great show. Phenomenal guest stars, Britney Spears, Alec Baldwin, Woody Harrelson, Harry Connick Jr. Just incredible. Al Roker. Lots of NBC personalities. So thank you for listening. I will babble back at you next week.